Is it too late to change anything?
I don't think
Dylan's
it is.
Oh, is he here?
Yep.
Oh, there he is, the young fella. Right. Well, we could him around the corner there.
Yeah. Listening to you guys ramble on about something.
Sharp-looking individual.
We're doing a bit of that, mate.
No. Are we making any sense at all, mate, or not?
Oh, I've just walked in, so I haven't really caught on what's going on.
For a young bloke, when you hear us start talking about Cola and draft restrictions and trading penalties for the Swans and all, are you a footy head? Are you at a stage of your love of the game and knowledge of the game and all that sort of stuff where you're engaging in all those conversations and interested in that sort of stuff?
I probably should be, but I can honestly say it doesn't really bother me. I don't think about it. I probably can get away with it up here in Sydney. There's not much media about it on TV or anything in the newspapers, not that I read them. But
well, we were talking a fair bit about you down south, mate. Your name was getting mentioned a lot
which
down south before.
Which leads to the first question, and we've been speaking about Charlie Dixon and others that have got a decision to make. You've made that decision and have elected to stay here. What would be going, using your own experience, what's going through his mind right now? What are the considerations that he has to weigh up? What did you weigh up when you were considering what you did with your footballing future?
Yeah, well, obviously, well, coming from my point of view, it all comes down to team success. So the reason I play my footy is because I want to win games. Ultimately, I want to win a premiership. So I guess what's going through a player's mind is where's the best opportunity to go to a team where they think they can achieve a flag. And then, of course, if it's not about that, then, I guess they're going to be looking to settle themselves financially, as you would be going through your mind as well, Scotty. And family, friends and that sort of stuff. So for me, to return back to Melbourne, obviously I have my family to consider from Melbourne. I obviously grew up there, got a lot of friends that down there. Plus, the opportunity to play in front of big crowds and for the big Melbourne clubs was very appealing. But yeah, look, I can honestly say the main reason why I decided to stay at the Giants is because I think we can, win a premiership. And that's why I decided to stay.
If you were to achieve team success over the next 3 or 4 years, is there some chance that you would like to play one day in Melbourne?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to say right now, but in a couple of years' time, if we were to achieve premiership here at the Giants, then I'd highly consider returning back to Melbourne. It's my home, and then I can say that I've achieved something up here, and sort of not my personal job is done, but I was part of a collective role with my best mates up here that we achieved really really good. Good goal.
Does it feel like a footy club? I mean, you're only a young man anyway, so you haven't played it too many, but you know what it's like to be part of a junior footy club coming through. You walk into a crusty old change room and there's an honours board somewhere and there's dirty old weatherboards on the floor that probably need, there's a smell. Footy clubs have got a smell about them. Does it feel to you like a footy club up here?
It does now. Probably, 2004, started 2014 and now this year it's really started to become that football club feeling. Now that we're at our permanent base just down the road here, definitely helps. Because the first few years, we were sort of swapping and changing where we were. Not that we weren't enjoying ourselves out at Blacktown, but it's just that now we've got a permanent base sort of from where we're living. We've got that sort of second home where we go to every day to perform our football duties. And, recruiting blokes like Heath Shaw and Griffin and Mumford, guys with experience that have been around for a long time, and obviously a few of those guys got a bit of character. definitely makes our workplace feel a lot more like a footy club should.
We're speaking with Dylan Sheila, injured young gun from GWS. We'll talk to us about Heath Shaw. He was very popular at Collingwood, but he came with a few warts as well. He's an interesting dude.
Obviously had a bit of a reputation down in Melbourne for being quite outspoken, but it's probably what we needed at our footy club, someone that's going to sort of speak up and stand up, for our players and on the field, but also off the field. So obviously he can get himself into a bit of trouble, a bit of mischief with what he says, but I think it's good for us and good for the game.
One of the things we've seen you play your footy a bit as a commentary team, and one of the things we've always noticed about you guys, when you get going, when you go, you're as exciting to watch as any side in the competition. Sometimes going back the other way, in the past you could have been got at. And we've wondered whether, because you're all such natural ball winners and you've been the man at your junior clubs coming through, whether enough of you have wanted to sacrifice your own natural instincts as players for the good of the team. Has that been something that, as part of your evolution, you've you've found out when it's my turn to go and when it's his turn to stop back and do the defensive stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an issue we had in the first couple of years. You know, you got so many high draft picks, so much talent that everyone that comes in the team has always been the star as they grew up. So I guess over the last few years, especially this year and a bit of last year, we've evolved where players have sort of, instead of playing that midfield time or playing, in their preferred position that they've grown up to be playing, they've had to sort of, take a hit for the team and play their role, whether it's a tagging role where we're seeing Cogs doing, Cornelio doing a bit of that this year. And you've got blokes like Tom Bug who have gone to play back, and even Griffin later on in his career has had to go play back line a bit. So, I guess as I'm still young, but you sort of, as when you're young, you mostly think about yourself in your career. And then once you sort of realise that it's about the team, you start to think about others. And if that means playing out of your position, then you just got to do that.
Is there one yet that you think is really going to become a really good AFL player that we haven't sort of identified yet? One out of the box? I mean, there's so many high draft picks and they get a lot of kudos, but is there a surprise packet that's yet to emerge?
Well, I said last year after our last game against the Bulldogs that Cameron McCarthy was going to be the next big thing at the club, and he's I think he's delivered on that. So
who's the next one?
I think
we'll hold you.
I think we've watched him a few times. Jack Steele. He looks like he's got the goods to become a seasoned or a really consistent AFL footballer. I mean, I was talking to Dean Brogan yesterday at training. We're just trying to figure out who we think he plays like, and he's probably in that Josh Kennedy mould at the Swans. Of a real inside. Yeah. Contested ball beast.
It's tough, isn't it? Because you look out there earlier, and Rezzies have, and they're going to do this to teams in the north. We understand the competition you blokes are playing in, but there's talent all over the place. Like Mark Harvey was standing where you were standing, 15 minutes ago, and I'm sure as an Essendon assistant coach, he'd be looking out there going, "Give me half of those blokes. They'd be playing in our ones. Yep. They'd be playing today. Tomlinson would be playing. Bugger'd be playing." They just be playing.
Yeah.
There's so much talent on this squad.
Yeah, how hard is that to manage when you've got quality players that would be playing at any other club running around in your NEFL team?
Yeah, well, it's something that the coaches, openly talk about to the players in our training or team, game reviews, is that, spots are going to be hard as we've developed over the last couple of years at the Giants, because it's not like... we've got, we're not like a seasoned AFL club where they're going to give you your two or three young first year, second year players games week in, week out.
When they're not quite ready, just for the sake of playing young players.
I mean, 95% of our team that we're playing now is their future.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's difficult. I mean, half the guys in our reserves would probably be getting a game at other clubs. Yeah.
Is it a big deal for you? I mean, you're injured. Are you going to play? You're gone for the year.
Yeah, I'm done for the year.
How important is for the group, do you reckon, to play a final this year? Is it? It's certainly not. In terms of the big picture, there's going to be finals footy down the track, everything being equal, right? But sooner rather than later, can you imagine how big a shot in the arm it would be if you could maybe even play a final? Probably not going to get to host a final, but just play a final. How big a deal would that be, do you reckon?
It's obviously vital for our development. I mean, it's what we play for, and when it comes to it, you need to play in front of the big crowds and on the big stage, and for us to get that experience as soon as we can, it'll only benefit us.
Is it spoken about?
Internally, obviously, because it's achievable, and we've put in some a pretty good year for our standards. It's definitely achievable. So look, we're hoping to play finals this year. There's no doubt about it.
What about here? What about the first year you get to, when it happens, if it happens, you get to host a final? Would you like to play it here? I know the SCG's the premier venue in this city, but for the good of the Giants and building a home base here, even if there are 20,000 people that can't get in,
or would you almost rather play an away final in Melbourne before 50 or 60,000 at the G or a home final here?
I think...
Because you are a Melbourne boy.
You have a lot of cultural awareness
of Melbourne and finals.
Yeah, well, obviously playing at a final in Melbourne is... Yeah, that'd be great. But, I mean, if we were to host a final up here in Sydney, I'd definitely want to play here at Spotless.
Yeah,
I mean, SCG's obviously great, but that's the Swans' home ground. It's not ours. And to play a final at Spotless and sort of involve the people of West Sydney, I think it's just it'd be fantastic. And the atmosphere here, when there's only, you know, half a stadium, is electric.
That's
anyway.
Good.
Yeah. Well, it's not beyond the realms. I mean, Essendon today, Port Adelaide, Sydney, and Carlton, Melbourne to finish. Now, you've got 9 wins. You probably need to get to 13 to sneak in.
It looks like Port will be the game, won't it?
Yeah.
Could be the swinger.
Unless you beat Sydney. I mean, you know, you knock over Sydney, and that game's here. That game's here.
Yeah.
That game's here, I think, the Sydney game.
Yep.
It's here. So, I mean, you've beaten them before, and you're...
Got legs to beat them.
But plus, we like the attitude you bring. Not just you, but this group.
We like how the Giants play footy.
You take them on, you know. You're not afraid of anybody. It doesn't look like you're a group that's conceding anything these days before you run out.
Yeah, well, I don't think our team's in a position to be talking about any other game besides the one we've got to play.
But we ask you because you're not playing.
But, I mean, if we, you know, obviously can win today, win the games that we're probably expected to win, but also if we can win a game against Port or the Swans, maybe ones that are going to be a bit harder and maybe we're not expected to win, then, you know, we potentially could be in the finals. And, yeah, if we play that exciting, you know, running handball game of footy that we played a lot of in the early stages of this year, then... Yeah. You know, everything's possible.
Was last week against Freo more important than we as neutral observers think? You've gone to Perth. I think your average losing margin was close to 100 before last week. How important was last week's performance?
Yeah, well, obviously a win would have been better for our confidence in terms of the pass that we've had over in Perth. But yeah, look, I know we got beaten and probably got bullied a bit physically, but. The performance that we put out with an undermanned side as well. I mean, we didn't have your Shane Mumford crashing and bashing around the stoppages there to look after, you know, Jack Steele and Treloar and those sort of guys. For the performance that we put out, it was fantastic and a step forward for our footy club.
And did you realise your coach was a lunatic? Like the sort of bloke that would leave the box and do what he did on a couple? Did you realise Leon had that in him?
Probably. Behind closed doors, we've seen...
A spray or two?
Yeah, and probably deserved it.
Who's his target? Is there anyone that you just know he's going to go straight toward?
Oh, no. I don't think he's that type of coach who's just going to pick on one bloke week in, week out. But if it had to be anyone, it'd probably be one of the boys that can handle it, one of the senior players. Yep. I know Heath Shaw can cop it every now and then, or even someone like myself or Jezza or... Adam Treloar, we cop our fair share if we deserve it.
The Glamour Boys.
But seeing, you know, Leon run down during the footy game last week, people say it looked bad, but as a player, it sort of, in a way, felt good to see our leader of our team sort of defend us and wasn't going to put up with anything.
I think everyone in the footy community is happy to see big John Patton back today.
Yes.
He's had his share, so let's hope that from now on there are blue skies in front of him personally. But I guess as a teammate, you'd just be stoked to see the big bloke has gone through the rehab he's had to go through again and get himself back out here and give himself another opportunity to prove to us all what he can do.
Yeah, well, obviously, Johnny's a good mate of mine and has some really good friends up here. And I guess, you know, people who are looking at football from the outside will only see Johnny play the football game, so they wouldn't have seen him since last year. But you know, look at us guys, we've seen him day in, day out, early mornings, late nights, doing his rehab, doing the hard work. So hopefully he can have a really solid hit out today, and I'm sure he'll have a lot of support with him on the ground.
And how are you going with yours? Are you travelling along okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Obviously I'm not going to play for the rest of this season, so I've just got off the crutches and I'll start running in a couple of weeks because I tore my meniscus. That's what the injury was. So I had a pretty standard procedure operation about 3 weeks ago. But look, it's nothing that's too major.
If you did it in round one, how long would you miss?
It depends on the approach the surgeon takes. You can take probably a more aggressive approach, and I could have been back within 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay.
But because we're probably not going to be pushing for a flag this year or go too deep into September, we're going to sort of look to 2016 and take the more conservative approach and that would push the recovery time to about 12 weeks.
And what do you need just to... Sorry, Scotty. What do you need to get there? Is it just waiting to mature?
I think we've got the personnel to do it. I think it's just, you know, more experience, more games. I mean, we're still fairly young. I mean, a lot of our experienced players have only just ticked over 50 games.
Yeah, how many did you play?
I've played, I think, mid-60s.
Yeah.
So, you know, another pre-season, you know, more time working through our team plans and just getting to know each other a little bit more. I think we've shown a bit at the start of this year that we've got the ability to match it with the best. It's just for how long.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know whether you were in the car that morning. There's a bunch of you in the car one morning. We had one of you, might have even been you, might have been you, on Morning Glory, Tim Watson, and about four or five of you going to training together, and you had a win that particular week, and we got you to sing the song in the car. Were you part of that? You weren't there that morning?
No, it definitely wasn't me.
It might have been the first or second time that you'd won a game, and we love the song. I think everybody... Has the song grown on you?
Yeah, it has. It was difficult to know the lyrics in the first couple of years, but boys have gotten used to it.
And yeah.
Yeah, when we sing it, we sing it loud and proud.
It goes all right. Good luck with the rest of your rehab, mate, and good luck for you, the teammates today. We hope they go well. It's been good to see the continuing evolution, and we can't wait to see what happens down the track. Thanks for coming up for a chat.
Thanks for having me,
all
guys.
All the best.
On you, Dylan.